Remix. Hello, and welcome to The Conversation, episode 19.
We have come to you from the future.
Yeah, to the future.
Filled with hip-hop and crapness.
Yeah, terrible, terrible beatboxing. My name is Alan Porter.
I'm Tom Hutchison.
Episode 19.
One away from the 20th special.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about on the 20th, do you know?
Is there an echo in here? No, I don't know.
Maybe we should start concocting an idea now.
Yeah,
probably. Maybe people can send us in some ideas. We would like you to talk about this.
That's a superb idea, Tim. By all means.
A user-generated 20th edition.
Yeah.
It's your choice.
Even just send us words and we'll riff on
I like that.
And it might be a bit rubbish.
I'll send you a word now. What's the first thing you think of? Flange.
I'm still thinking of flange.
I'm thinking of a guitar pedal. What are you thinking of?
Still thinking of flange. as you said, I'm Alan Porter, my comrade in arms.
Hello, Gumbry.
Hello, you know, of the red.
Mishking.
Is Mr. Twanchin sitting across from me. Hello.
Hello, hi, how are you doing? It's been a long time since we've last seen each other.
Indeed.
We do not record these podcasts back to back.
Don't ruin the magic.
It's actually this week, right now, that you're in.
Yeah.
This has just happened.
We've been going through some of the suggestions that people have thrown in as to what they'd like us to speak to. Please do send more in, because we're really not that good at doing it.
If you think we know what we're talking about, we don't. Yeah. So send us some ideas.
And we've been asked to talk about pets.
Pets.
Do you have any pets?
I don't have any pets at the moment.
At the moment,
I've never.
Objection. He's leading the witness.
I've never personally had a pet.
No.
Right. However. There have been some pets I've got very fond of.
Mm.
Like Michelle's family I've always had dogs. And
I'm going to be honest, I don't like the dog.
You don't like their current dog, do you? Cody, he's a little butch.
I don't think I've ever met. Did I meet any of the other ones?
You might have met Danny, the previous dog, who was
I don't know them by name.
No, he was a lovely thing.
We're not that close.
It was a bit sad when he died.
Yeah.
But the new dog, I love him.
Was he assassinated?
JFK style. He was sat on by a bigger dog. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think it was natural causes. But who knows? The post-mortem never quite said.
Inconclusive,
Your Honor. But the current dog, he's a lovely little thing. I can understand, like, my brother's like you. It's like, what the fuck is that? It's a brute. It's one of these kind of...
I'm not going to rang on it too much, because obviously they love it, and that's fine. But my theory behind this is, it's called a pet because you pet it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't want to stroke it, because it's aggressive. It's aggressive looking. I know it's not aggressive. It's jumpy and it's loud.
It's butch. It's not aggressive. It's the biggest, dumbest, loveliest dog ever. But yeah, I know what you mean. When you first see it, you're like, fucking hell. That has got some... Its arms are bigger than mine.
But, it's not difficult.
I'm only 5'1". Yeah.
But I see that, you know, you see, like, the chavvy kids walking down the street with their dogs with the horrible, like, pink eyes.
Oh, God,
like mouths, like boxes.
Pitbull style.
Yeah. And they're just like, fucking, oh, that's a horrid thing.
But they're like a status symbol, aren't they? They're not really a pet. They're not there to cuddle up to.
I live in a tower block.
It's like, this is me. I'm brutal. Look at my dog. He's even more brutal than me. You know, it's like,
Stop being scaring me.
Yeah. sweetheart, who's Jaffa Cakes today? Yeah.
Why have you never had a pet then?
My brother had a pet. Do you know what? Animals in general, I like doggies, but that's an adulthood thing. As a kid, never interested me.
Okay.
Don't care. I think I had a goldfish maybe once. Weren't interested.
Better things to do, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I was playing a lot of football. I play so much football. I didn't really have time to go have a pet. I'll tell you the other thing is my mum hates dogs.
Okay.
She hates dogs. Like,
racist.
If there's a dog on the other side, if there's a dog on her side of the road, she will cross the road.
Really?
To get away from it. Or used to. I think she's mellowed a little bit.
Is she like scared of them, or does she just hate them?
Scared of them.
Okay.
Scared. Yeah. Okay. Genuinely scared. It could be the tiniest. It could be a bloody poodle. She just there's a fear in her. You know, everyone's got
proper poodles are massive.
I mean, Christmas was interesting when they come round and Cody was there because he's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, right? He's very much one of these beefy looking kind of council estate kind of dogs. He does look like one of those.
Yeah.
I'd argue that he's not like that at all. But, when you actually get to know him as a creature, and they all have very much their own personalities. I mean, but when he comes jumps in, he's only jumping on you to give you a cuddle like a dog would. You
he's
know.
Heavy as well, though.
He is heavy, man. It weighs. He scratches your arms up and stuff, but not on purpose. It's just his claws along. And
yeah, I mean, that's...
I suspect there's everything you don't like about
an
animal.
Is that okay? I'm sure he doesn't do it on purpose. Like, he goes, you know what, I'm going to scratch the fuck out of this person.
Yeah.
That's not the point, though, is it?
I know what you're saying. I would say, having known that dog all of his life, that... The benefits outweigh the small negatives.
Okay, okay.
But I can understand someone who doesn't know that dog go, God, I don't want to be involved with that.
Okay. I mean, I'm not ragging on that particular dog. I'm sure it's just, you know, as an animal that features, you know...
We're both aware of.
How are you with cats?
They're all right. Pfft, I'm nonplussed.
Pointless?
Nonpussed. Is that right? Our whole road, everyone seems to have a cat.
Yeah.
So... Michelle's once said, oh, maybe we should get a cat. It's like, we don't need to. Look at our garden. There's about 15 out there at the minute. I come home tonight.
We don't need to.
One of them's sitting on the spikes. Sitting on the spikes on the trellis of my garden.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing up there? I'm talking to this bloody cat. What are you doing up there? Get down. And it's such a fat cat. It's one of these really fat... like mummy indoors has overfed it, like,
because
mummy thinks it's still her baby boy who's now 25 and smokes, you know, weed out the window. Oh, isn't he beautiful? Look at him. Oh, look, he's a lovely little tab, isn't he? No, he's the fattest fucking cat I've ever seen in my life. And now he's sitting on my fence and ruining it because it's built, you know, so that if someone tries to climb it, it's got to collapse and cause a big fucking noise, right?
Yeah.
And now this fat fucking thing is ruining my fence. Still, I love cats.
Very much a cat person.
Yeah.
I quite like cats. I quite like dogs as well.
Do you have a favourite animal?
Do I have a favourite animal? The alligator. No, I don't.
Brilliant.
Of the two, no, not really. They both got merits. I think if I was going to have one or the other, I'd have to have a cat, just because they're quite low maintenance.
Mm.
And I don't want to have to pretend that this thing loves me. Because I know it don't.
Like, it don't love me.
I'd rather that relationship just be purely platonic, and it's just like, do you know what? You're there, you're soft, the kids might like you, you might get stroked a bit. You sit on my lap, that's fine. I'll feed you. That's my part of the bargain.
Mm.
Just don't sit on my face and kill me.
Mm. don't smother me. So yeah, you haven't got a pet at the minute?
No.
Do you think there'll be a time when the kiddies will want a pet and you'll get one?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I wouldn't have a dog because they're too much work.
They're like having a child.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've got two of them. So
they need to be walked and looked after and all this kind of shit.
Whereas a cat, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Tom, I won't get attached to it. But if he gets hit by a car, I ain't going to cry.
Yeah,
I don't care. No. Like, I'll just buy another one. If the kids are upset, I'll just buy another
Snowball too.
Yes, precisely.
Exactly.
Where I live at the moment, I'm quite close to a fairly busy road at times, so they'd last like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it'd be catatonic, wouldn't it? I'm sorry,
I'll cut that out.
I take that back.
I'll file that.
File that under shit.
Yeah. So I mean, but when we move, I mean, it's very much a cards. I mean, I would actively quite like to get a cat, and you know, if it dies, I don't really care.
Any other animals that you would?
Would you
have a fish tank?
We used to have, my dad has a koi carp. We had a big fish pond in our garden, my mum and dad's. And they were fucking huge, those things. Mm. Like beautiful, like Japanese koi.
Mm-hmm.
Pride and joy. My dad's pride and joy. We actually gave them away to someone when we got rid of the pond.
Worth a bit, aren't they?
Yeah, they're worth a fortune. But it's one of those things, like selling fish is a right pain in the arse now. Because I think they put through some sort of legislation where you can't just like sell them in loot. Because people nick them because they're worth a load of money,
right.
So you have to have like documentation and stuff, which didn't have. So we
makes
gave,
sense, but it's a pain in the ass.
We gave them to someone who we knew, for like my brother knew through some church group, so they're fairly legitimate. Who had like a dirty great pond, like 10 times the size of ours, so they could go and you know be happy and stuff, which is perfect. Because I mean that pond got a little bit too small for them because they only grow as big as their surroundings allow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like
human beings.
Yeah.
See, my brother's got a fish pond in his fairly new home,
yeah,
which he inherited and he loves it. He loves the fish.
There
are benefits to having, say, fish, for example, because I can imagine it being quite calming and soothing. If you've got a hectic job and you end up suddenly you're looking at fish in a fish tank or something, and you're looking after them, feeding them, and all that, and just treating the water and all that. It's kind of almost therapeutic, you know. Yes, to get too hippy dippy and gay.
It is. It's cathartic. You can sit there and, you know, as you say, you check the pH level of water and stuff, and you just make sure there's filtration and stuff. It's not a great deal of time, but it's, you know, you've got that sound of running water in your garden or in your wherever in your study. It's
soothing.
And it's soothing, and you've got, you know, something that's living and breathing there. My brother had a tropical fish in his bedroom, and they're kind of pretty, but they're very high maintenance. You got to have like lights and shit.
For me to have an animal, personally, just for me, I'd want something real low maintenance, like feed it once a day, leave it in a tank or something or whatever, and I don't have to worry about it. Yeah,
that's just your brother, isn't it?
Yeah, leave my brother in a tank. Yeah, feed me. No. But I suspect in the future, when we have sort of kiddies growing up and stuff, that we'll end up getting a dog or something. But for me, it's a time factor thing and an effort thing.
It's expensive as well, man.
Life's busy enough, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing, right? Working in the media, as you're aware of, people care more about animals than they do humans.
Yeah.
So when I used to work at local papers, you'd do a story on, you'd do a story about someone who died in a car crash, and what happened was they were chasing their cat who got out the front door across the road. They chased the cat across the road and they got hit by a car and, they died and John Smith's dead, you know. And then you get phone calls from people going, what happened to the cat? What happened to the cat?
It's a very sad story, actually.
The cat's all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right then. No, it ain't. Someone's fucking dead. How can you value a cat? You get so many complaints from people if you'd say, oh, devil dog kills, you know, woman, and it was a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, and then you get all the dog people on the phone. Then Staffordshire Bull Terriers are not devil dogs. They're perfectly legal. They're not pit bulls that are banned. You've got it wrong. These were pit bulls, and we demand a retraction, and we want a front page apology. People were genuinely way angry. Actually, someone's died here. You're completely forgetting the fact that a person's died, and everything. Anything you care about animal-wise is nothing compared to that person's death. No. You know, they have more passion about the animal.
Yeah.
People get fucking psycho about animals.
Yeah.
And it never fails to shock me how much so they like that.
Yeah. I worked with a girl when I worked for the police, and she was an actual officer, and she was, like, no one liked her. She was an absolute bag of shit.
A bellend.
And
technical term, bellend.
Yeah, and I remember talking to her about this sort of stuff, because she was a proper like animal person. She goes, oh well, I give like 60% of my salary to charity. I was like, you live in a bedsit, don't you? You've got no friends or family. She's like, yeah, well, that means I can afford to do it. I go, no, one is systematic of the other. And like she goes, oh well, you don't understand, like you haven't got enough love in your heart for animals. And it's like, no, correct.
Correct. Like, I love people more.
I've got enough money in my bank account to not give a shit as well.
I can buy McDonald's today. You can't. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Go fuck yourself.
I kept asking, because no one minded that I used to wind her up. My favourite question was, I said, right, so you're walking down the high street, and you're standing there, and there's a woman who's like not paid attention to what a kid's doing, and they've got a little dog as well. And the kids are, obviously, we're talking like a toddler, so they can walk, they're independent enough, and they're patting the dog. Now, bus is coming down the street. The dog runs out into the road. The kid runs after it. So standing side by side, they're going to get hit instantaneously. You can only pick up one of them things, the child or the dog. Guaranteed safety, the other one guaranteed death. Which one do you get? Without even skipping a beat, she goes, dog.
Wow.
And I was like, justify that. She goes, well, the kid should know better, and like that's the mother's responsibility, whereas the dog doesn't know anything, and like they don't see why. And I was just like, sorry, that's just the most retarded thing I've ever heard. And you know, there's different.
I think this person doesn't work for the police.
Anymore. I don't know.
I would hope not.
She
maybe yeah, in a dog patrol section.
Well,
you're talking to a mental case straight away there. I don't think even most animal lovers would say that's the right answer, surely.
I mean, I don't know.
I might be wrong. We might be inundated with emails next week.
Yeah, by all means, bring it on. You know, I know people currently who are very, you know, pro-animal and argue the point that, you know, what are you doing? I mean, the question was asked of me, how much do you care about animals? It's like, yeah, well, you know, I do, but I'm not, like, actively there. And it's like... do I change my behaviour because of the way I feel about certain things?
Mm.
Maybe a bit. Like, I don't eat certain meats for an ethical reason, and also because I don't like it. But just because I don't like it doesn't mean that I don't support the ethics of it.
Mm.
You know, just in the same way that I don't, you know, I won't buy African blood diamonds.
Mm. You won't? Yeah. When did that policy change? Just last week, I saw you with a pal.
After they made the film, and Leonardo DiCaprio
after,
had the
after terrible Naomi Campbell took them all.
Yeah. Terrible accents of the Sififlikin. Yeah, look at me. Yeah, I'm king of the world. Crazy.
God, it's like apartheid all over again.
Leonardo will return in Tadidikdu. Yeah, so some people get massively overzealous about it. But going back to pets in particular, my oldest brother had a gerbil or hamster. I want to say one or the other. I don't know the difference.
Maybe a ham gerbil. A gerbster.
Gerbster. We're going to say gerbster because I like the word gerbster. To say it again.
Gerbster.
I had one of those things, and it was cool. It was called Oakley, I believe.
I remember this.
And it was like a
I remember you getting Oakley out. Letting him run over your hands.
That's not a
euphemism for his cock, people. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, it's running all over my hands.
You know, I call my cock Ray-Ban. I like that little thing. It was cool. It was, and I think if I was going to get something that's between, you know, it's furry and it's warm and it's, you know, it's active, like a cat, like a dog, but mm-hmm. it's very low maintenance and you don't have to do a great deal with it. Gerbil, hamster, gerbster. Perfect. Because they've got little personalities as well. They're kind of cool.
Yeah, they're right.
That thing had like a cyst in it that basically made it swell up.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the size of a...
Michelle's little brother's got one at the minute. It's got its arse hanging out.
It was like the size of tennis balls. Side by side.
Bigger than the gerbster.
The old ham gerb just didn't work out.
We had a hamster. My brother had a hamster when we were kids. I remember this. We lost him in the house. And it was just... About 3 weeks later, he turned up. He got under floorboards or something, I don't know, and he just one day was there in the front room. He was like, we thought you were dead. Hello?
Was it like a Summersby, where he came back and he was ever so slightly different? He looked the same, but he was ever so slightly different.
He was wearing a new hat, and he had...
Hang on a second, you didn't smoke before.
He had a suitcase, a walking stick, but apart from that, he looked the same. I've travelled the world. No way, I saw it under the floorboards. Yeah.
It was cool as well. Yeah. I've only been to the front door and back. I didn't get as far as the port.
Hello there, I've got a new accent.
Yeah, just like Richard Gere.
Indian gerbs. Are there any animals that you hate?
Any animals?
Like, most people don't like spiders.
Spiders are pretty much the only thing for me. I cannot stand them. Like,
so there's a spider when you go, and they run away.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't be dealing with it. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Anything else I'm okay with. I mean, I've
snakes. A lot of people don't like snakes.
Love snakes.
Do you?
Love them. Love them a bit. I've held a woodlouse that's as big as like a cat. Ooh. It's like the size of a dinner plate.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
I can't remember the name of it. If I do remember the name of it, I'll put it up on the. I'll find
a link.
Picture and shit, and I'll put it up on the Facebook page. They're awesome because they're just all legs and they're. Grey and massive and it's fucking heavy.
See, that would freak me out a little bit. Snakes are fine.
It was on the edge of freaking me out, but it was also very much amazing. Into the territory of me going, this is amazing.
Birds? Any birds? Eagles and things? You ever seen some of them live?
We see them all the time. We've got, because I've got palisades.
Eagles out the front, back?
Well, no. We get sparrowhawks and stuff.
Because
we've got palisades at the back. In fact, next door to me, I've got a golf course and it's got a little petting zoo in it.
Mm.
So quite frequently, I go out to the car and there's an alpaca just like sticking his head over the fence. Is that the noise that it makes?
Yeah, I'm trying to pick the noise they make. No,
it just like a hiss. And like, yeah. It doesn't make any noise. I mean, they're just, it's massive. It's got a little afro and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's horses and shit and other things like that. But
horses are nice. I like horses.
Horses are okay. I've never ridden. Have you ridden a horse?
No. There's a person that, that's a working place that is obsessed by horses.
Every workplace has got one, my friend.
This person sees their horse more than their husband.
Okay.
It's freaky, actually.
They're
it's
married? Like, usually yeah. I find...
What a relationship.
Can I throw some things out there and see whether I hit the nail on the head?
Go on, yeah.
Do they get up ridiculously early and go to see the horse in the morning?
Correct.
Do they occasionally come into the office wearing boots? Like,
no, I've never seen that.
They get up so
early that they will change back.
Okay, fair cities. Enough. If you ask them what they did on their weekends, do they always start with, "Well, I was with the horse"?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, or every mention night the stables.
Every single night they see the horse as well. So yeah. There's very little time for the partner, from what I can see.
Every place I've ever worked, there's always been a bird like that.
Mm.
I'm surprised this person's married, to be honest with you, because like usually
they're I wonder what the husband's doing.
Fucking another horse.
You know, if they're both content,
they're such time,
two different people.
They're such time intensive animals.
Exactly. I mean, if you actually own the horse, well, I suspect she does. Yeah. You are tasked with looking after that horse, even though you've got stables to rent and all that. You're the one who's got to look after them.
Oh, yeah, you've got to do the mucking out and shit.
Yeah, exactly. There's a thing called sheathing, is that what it's called? Have you heard about this? Where they basically have to clean the horse's cock.
Yeah, I get it. Oh,
it sounds horrific. Yeah, no problem.
You're going to need some corsadil after that.
Oh, my God. I mean... That's a bit too much, isn't it? That's what I mean about too much of an animal looking after. I want a fish, so I'll feed it once.
You don't have to gobble it off. You don't have to change the hooves on a fucking fish.
I'm going
to
munch that bad boy off. Yeah.
He's swimming sideways.
Oh, and relax.
Flush it,
Yeah, that's a bit too intensive for me, but I'd argue that there's something, you know, maybe emotionally or mentally wrong with the person if they're into an animal.
I would not argue with you that. If you've got to have that level of care in your life, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think horses have a very primal thing with some people.
Animals don't argue back, do they? That's why people...
They do, I'd say.
And they're a bit generally unconditional love, or they're deemed that way. It's like...
People certainly have animals that don't like them. I used to know a guy who had a cat that absolutely fucking hated him. Everyone who lived in the house it was fine with me. I'd walk in and I'd stroke it, it'd be fine. But them, they couldn't go near it. Like, couldn't be in the same room. It would chase him and scratch him and bite him and like, and just be up on its paws. But you know, anybody else walked in, just stroking it. Hello, it was like,
fucking hell. Yeah. They do have their own.
There's just people they don't like. You know, yeah. It's fine. They are, you know, they do have a limited capacity of intelligence there. Like, they ain't gonna be doing any fucking crossword puzzles or card tricks, but they know if they sense a threat or they're hungry, like that sort of Pavlovian response to certain things.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it is as it is. It's well documented. But yeah, I mean, horses in particular have a very distinct effect on people, particularly girls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the phallic element of it. I don't know.
What, the massive cock?
Massive cock. Maybe you know, harks back to the sort of hunter-gatherer thing, because the horse has pretty much always been the tool of.
I can see how people fall in love with an animal like a horse. Yeah, I can. I personally couldn't give two shits, but I can kind of see how someone could think the animal is so amazing to them. I can see that. I can see how you are so in awe of these creatures that you just want to be around them, you know, dolphins and things like that, right? But they are amazing. You know, there are certain animals out there that you take your breath away. I once was lucky enough to go swimming with stingrays, manta rays,
okay.
And they put them on your arms, and they're literally the size of this table, which is a big table, by the way, and they sit them on both arms, and you can feel the weight of them in the water. And
where was this?
This was
Fish and
Caribbean.
Chicken.
Yeah, this was London, England, yeah. In the Thames. Yeah, it was Caribbean,
okay.
And it was an incredible experience. But I just think to then take the next step, or maybe a couple of steps more than that, and actually dedicate most of your life to, or certainly a huge part of your life to looking after one of these creatures, makes you think, well, what's missing in your personal life there that you feel you have to do this? I mean,
yeah,
what's going on there? Because you know, I think both of us would agree right now, we don't need animals or care for animals in our lives particularly, because we've got busy enough lives as it is.
It's not that I don't not care, it's just that I don't care enough to have to
look after one and take that responsibility on.
I haven't got that time or the need or the gumption to I can't be fucked to do it.
Yeah.
Now, going back to your point, I mean, I can understand how people can fall in love with a particular species. People talk as, oh, I love dogs, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Natalie Spam's got like four of the fucking things, and they're big, and they're all cool. You know, they're four different dogs, and that's cool. I don't like it when people have got like 10 of the same dogs.
Yeah,
that's pointless. Yeah, or like, oh, look, I've got 16 ginger cats. Good for you. High five.
Well done, cat lady.
But with a horse, the horse is massive. A horse could kill you if it wanted to.
Oh, yeah, kick back and break your spine or something, couldn't it?
Whenever I go out on my bike, I go through Epping Forest, and you get people on their horses going through, and they're fucking massive.
Yeah, they are huge.
Like, just so big.
I mean, there is an argument that if you're into that kind of thing and you really get a buzz out of horse riding, and we're taking horses as an example, there are plenty of other examples, riding a giraffe, for example.
Camel riding.
Then you can get so into that that all your friends become horsey lovers, and you have that set, and then you go horse riding on the weekends, and there's these whole groups, and that's become majorly a focal point of your whole life, yeah? Who's to say that's not a good thing? You know, I mean, if you're into that and you're with like-minded people who are also into that, and you know, then it works, and it actually brings you and like-minded people together, and it can actually make a life.
One of the things that I regret that I didn't do was I was invited to go on a fox hunt when I worked for the Countryside Alliance, and I turned it down. Just because I was doing something else.
So how would that work? You'd actually hunt with the fox?
I don't know.
The
thing is, they said to me, it was like, so like, how often do you go riding? I was like, oh, all the time. I do it all the time. It's fine. Just bullshitting my way into to doing that. Like, so they give me some more work. So I was only like contracts, and they were like, oh, he's a keen rider. I've got a little bit of a back injury. I haven't had it for a while, but I should be fine. Like in a couple of weeks. Oh, we got a hunt coming up in a couple of weeks. I was like, okay. And I knew because like, one of our friends, Matt, used to ride horses all the time, and my brother as well, and I said, like, can I sort of bullshit my way through that? Like, and as soon as I said, like, can I, they just started shaking their head to go, no, 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 no. The horse will know, and you'll just get bolted off and you look a fool. But I wanted to kind of try it and maybe just fudge it a little bit, just so I could like carry the gun and shit, because they're doing like clay pigeon shooting as well afterwards.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Or grouse shooting, one or two, like proper shooting.
I'd like to have one of them clay pigeons as a pet, because they're low maintenance.
Very circular. Good flight.
You're not very hungry, this one.
Eat your burger.
He ain't eating nothing all day.
I would have liked to have been out there. Maybe I could have got a couple of lessons in, but alas, I can't remember. But that would have been like a proper hunt as well. One of the last few.
Oh, right. Before they illegalised it. Is that the right word? It is
now.
Yeah,
yeah. Dejudificated it.
Yes. De-legalising.
So yeah, that's, pets.
Okay, I think we've fucked the brain out of those pets.
Yeah. Play the jingle. I was reading on Twitter about an audiobook of the book World War Z by Max Brooks.
The zombie book.
Yeah. Now, I knew that there was an audiobook of this way back. I can't remember who narrated it. It was
someone. Soon to be a Brad Pitt film.
Yeah, well, in name only, really, it looks like.
Oh, is it not the... No.
Because the book is an oral history of the zombie apocalypse. So basically, it's essentially Vox Pops, a book of that.
That's good. Should we describe what Vox Pop is?
Go on.
It's when you see on the news, they interview people on the street. What do you think of this? What do you think of taxes? And they go, oh, I don't like taxes. And the next person will be like, oh, I love taxes. I think they're great. They're called Vox Pops.
Yeah, it's essentially that. It's like interviews with the with survivors or you know, people who are involved in what happened in this story of the zombie apocalypse.
Right. Sounds interesting the way they've done it.
Fantastic book.
Have you read it?
Yeah. I've read it a couple of times.
And do they all die?
Everyone does in the end.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's as I say, it's written in that style. So obviously, if you got your head on right, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's no narrative there apart from how you build it within the story. So it's a great book. I'll lend it. I think I've still got it. I'll lend it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of these interviews, and the previous audiobook was kind of abridged. They'd cut bits out and stuff, and I think there was issues with copyright in certain little bits and stuff.
Oh, right.
And it was never considered to be proper, like to be a good adaptation of it. But since this movie's coming out, and the name or the brand World War Z is quite, you know, hyper. I was looking at the cast list of the audiobook. Now let me just pull it up.
Audiobooks have become massive recently, haven't they? There's a website called Audible, which is where it's got thousands of audiobooks now, which is, you know, you can download them onto your iPhones or your Android equivalents, and you can just listen to a book on your commute to work, etc. And just, you know, I think you can have subscriptions where you can have access kind of love film Netflix style to just download certain amounts of books, you know, and just listen to them. So you're actually reading book after book, but not with your eyes ever, you know.
Yeah,
it's a whole new way of doing it. It's quite amazing, really.
I've never listened to one.
You've never listened to an audiobook or the
one? No. I've never listened to one. I've never begun one because I prefer to read. But okay, let me go through some of the people who are the cast of this. I won't read them all, but you've got Max Brooks, who wrote it, as the interviewer. You've got Alan Alda in there.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Reiner as well.
I know who that is. Who's that?
He's been in loads of things. He's an actor.
Right.
Mark Hamill.
Oh, God. Luke Skywalker.
Henry Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Eamon singer. Walker. John Turturro. Rob Reiner. Simon Pegg.
Oh, yeah. Scotty.
Yeah. Steve Park. John McElroy.
McEnroe.
John McEnroe, yeah. You cannot be serious. Ah, oh, these fucking zombies.
Some big name people.
Yeah, and it's like Max Brooks is Mel Brooks' son.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mel Brooks of Blazing
Saddles. He's the guy who's created this World War Z, does he?
Yeah, he wrote the book. He also wrote one before it as well, which was called The Zombie Survival Guide. Not as good.
Oh, fair play to him.
But yeah, he's a very good author. It's written in a very novel way, even though it's not a novel. Forgive my play on words. But yeah, that's what kind of made me think about books, because it's people going on about this fantastic cast, and it is a fantastic cast, but... It saddens me a little bit. There's going to be a lot of people who listen to this, and it's it's like 10 hours long.
Really?
To listen to it, and don't read the book.
Yeah, because the whole point of a book is that you create all the voices in your head, right?
Yeah.
And you imagine this thing that's greater than the words on the page. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The most evocative of books, the best books, are the ones that create this world in your head that you totally visualise, totally relate to in your own way, which might be completely separate to a way someone else is relating to the same story. And it all works perfectly for you. That's the genius of books, right? And it's more at its peak, it's better than any kind of visual or audio form of entertainment.
Yeah,
as far as I can tell.
I agree. Yeah.
The best books, just it because it's so personal to you and so specific to you. Even though the story is always the same, you know how that character looks to you, and it might be completely different to how someone else visualizes them. You know, from a different part of the world. And that's what makes them so special. That's why you'll always have books.
Yeah.
Even if you end up in the future only reading them on, you know, Kindle style devices rather than actual in print.
Yeah.
I suspect we'll lose print eventually. It'll become niche like records and as CDs soon.
We will eventually. I could be pedantic and say that something like a Kindle is actually still print because it uses ink.
Does it?
Yeah, it's e-ink. It's not e-ink. It's not LCD. But that's just me.
It's
being
a technicality.
That's me being a pedant.
It's a screen, isn't it?
That's one. But it's
do you agree with me that there's nothing quite like a physical book?
I love it.
In your hands.
I am a stickler for technology, as I'm sure anyone who listens to this, more than a couple of these podcasts, will know. As is Tim. Yeah, and
that's me.
And you know, I've got a. Everywhere you look, there's a screen in my house. I will not have a Kindle in here. It's not saying I'm against it. I probably will get one at one point, but I still have books. I love
the feel of books. I agree with you, totally.
I'd rather pay a penny to get a book that's been through 100 hands on eBay than, you know, buy one brand new for £4 off Amazon.
That's why I think I've never got a Kindle. And like I say, I'm not saying I won't have one in a year or two's time if Christmas comes up and someone doesn't know what to buy me and I'll get me a Kindle or something.
As soon as someone hacks one, I'll buy it.
I'm going to be playing Pac-Man on that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I'm going to read a book, I'll just get the book.
Yeah.
I will buy the paperback or whatever because I just prefer that.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm staring at half screens on a daily basis of what we've computer screens and all that.
Yeah, it's
you only go to bed and the last thing you see is a screen because you're reading a book.
No, exactly. What was the last book you read?
Oh, Stephen King, one of his newest ones. I can't remember the name of it. It's a JFK book.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where the guy goes back in time.
1969.
Yeah, it's a date. Something like 1969, for example.
I can't remember. I don't think I've read that one. I love Stephen King.
It's excellently written. I think he's getting better as a writer, as he should do, to be honest. Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of people think Stephen King kind of finished it. I don't know. Like all the popular, like The Miseries of the World and all these kind of very popular films. And you know, Here's Johnny and all that. They're classic Stephen King. Shawshank, you know, all those kind of things. People think that's Stephen King. But actually, a lot of his newer stuff is excellent.
One of the things that people tend to skip over Stephen King is his magnum opus, which is the Dark Tower.
Yeah, I've never read that.
I've read it. In fact, I've got
it's
one.
It's like twice as big as Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, I think it runs in at like 10,000 pages or something like that.
Jesus.
It's 8 books. No, it was 7. It's now 8. And I don't think he's ruled out there being further trips into the world.
Imagine that being turned to a film franchise. Fuck.
Well, they've been trying to do it. J.J. Abrams had the rights to do it. But I think it's past hands. I think it's now with Ron Howard. And they greenlit a movie, but I think...
Is Chachi going to be in it?
Almost,
or Joni?
Almost certainly.
Sit on it.
But they were also talking about doing 3 films, but with TV series in between
The films. I'd like to see something like that happen.
Like a kind of cross-media, but not cross-media, because that's a bit of a wanky, like very 90s term.
I'd like to see that happen. But would the films technically not... You'd not have to watch the series to watch the films?
I don't know. I imagine you would have to. Oh. It's so dense, Tom. I mean, it's a fantastic achievement.
It's a fantasy story, right?
Yes.
It's very Lord of the Rings, right? It's like kind of Mordor and elves and beasts.
Not at all. It's got elements of like sort of Knights of the Round Table sort of thing in it, but it's all set. It's basically a Western set in like a parallel universe or parallel universes, and it draws from lots of different things. And it's basically the keystone of all of King's works. So every one of his books, even going back to the first thing he wrote, has a link.
Carrie, was that his first one?
I think it was his first published novel, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything has a link into the Dark Tower, being the, you know, recurring characters like Randall Flagg or the Man in Black, as he's known, and things. Oh, it was like the baddie in...
The Last Stand, was he the...
Oh, The Stand.
The Stand, yeah.
And it was also the baddie in something else, and he's like the...
Cool name.
Pretty much the baddie, yeah, Randall Flagg. Mm. Pretty much the main baddie in Dark Tower as well. And there's loads of things, like the people in Hearts of Atlantis, if you don't know if you read that, or... The film wasn't really that much of an adaptation.
I'm not sure I've seen that one.
I mean, I'm not going to go into all of it because it's myriad the connections there. But one of the things that you mentioned earlier about, you know, having that vision of how something should look, there's a very old world appeal to it. It's like basically there's like the oldie world aspect of this, where the people like live in castles and they're essentially knights, but they've got like these massive guns instead of swords and stuff like that. And me and my dad were reading these books at the same time. So I'd read one, give it to him, like, and he'd go for it, and then, you know, do all that. And we never really discussed the way that it looked when we discussed the characters and stuff and the languages. Yeah. It's got its very own, like, distinct language. But I think it was just after the last book dropped, or that we actually read it, they started releasing the comics, which fit in around a certain time when the lead character, Roland, was young, where he's basically like an apprentice gunslinger, as the name is it is called, and drawn by one of the greatest comic artists, Jai Lee. And it's just beautiful sort of watercolour-esque kind of pictures. And I gave it to my dad and I said, this is exactly how I imagined it. Right. And he got it and he was like, it's exactly how I imagined it too. But we discussed it. We both had different points of view on the specifics. So we both saw it in a different way, but this one person who had also seen it, obviously had links to King, who had drawn it, had sort of drawn it almost in metaphor. So didn't actually say in specific things like I imagined the castle having like a dirty great portcullis and you know, having like a courtyard and stuff, whereas my dad might have imagined it differently, but he'd drawn it as it was written, so it kind of fit everything.
Well, yeah,
it sort of filled the blanks.
Well, that's the cleverness,
isn't it? And well, that's the power of the written word, isn't it? It's the fact that it's not in what you do say, it's what you don't say. It's that negative space that the brain fills in rather than you know, everything else. And you can't achieve that through, you know, movies. You can't achieve that through video games and stuff.
So you think that's some of the best work Stephen King's ever produced?
Yes, I do. I don't think
just because of the epic scale and the effort in putting
the ambition,
that amount of books together and make it work. Does it work?
Yes, very much so. It's over 40 years.
I mean, that's an effort. This guy churns out two or three books. It feels like two or three books a year. It's probably one a year or something. But
you're right, though. He's some of his latest work's been brilliant, like Under the Dome, which is soon to be turned into a TV show. I read that in like one, well, arguably like 2 days, pretty much, when my eldest Betty was being born, and that's like a 2,000-page book.
Bloody
hell. I sat there because I'd like 55 hours to kill, and I just read it cover to cover. Fucking loved it. It's brilliant.
Amazing.
Great book. Again, The Stand.
What's the last book you read?
Last book I read was probably, I mean, not including comics, because I get through a shit ton of comics. What's the last book I read? Might have been Ready Player One. No, it wasn't. It was a Clive Cussler book. It was one of the Dirk Pitt ones.
Do you read much?
Yeah, I haven't read much recently. I haven't had time recently, because now I get on the underground and it's a bit too noisy.
I think you to read a fair amount, you need a certain amount of time a day to be able to do that, and that usually for a lot of people is, say, on a commute, or whether they know they've got you know, an hour or half an hour to kill, whatever that may be, a lunch break or something, and they like to read during that time. They have to have a set time where they know they can do that. Personally, I find it very difficult. I mean, part of my job is reading, so the last thing I want to do when I have spare time is to actually read anything. So I don't tend to read books during working periods.
Do you think that if you did like force yourself to start, do you think you would, like, instead of like one day a week, instead of playing computer games and you've got a bit of time, you read a bit of a book, do you think that would kickstart it? Because I find that's what happens with me. If I can't do something, I'll say, oh, that's a book I really want to read.
I don't have the inclination to do that because I read so much anyway. I like to read on holiday. I always read on holiday. I'll blitz through two or three books on a week, for example. If I'm away, absolutely love that. And that for me is the perfect time. I'm in a routine almost with that. You know, when I go away, I read a book. That's my thing. You know, and that's what I do there, and I love it. Absolutely love it. And I don't really want to change that personally at the minute, because I read thousands and thousands of words every day anyway.
Yeah.
And I learn a lot every day through that reading, so I don't feel like I'm really missing out.
No,
do you know what I mean?
But I mean, it's a fiction, isn't it? It's the stuff that
it's
where you get the. I mean, for instance, I do miss it. I actively miss it. That's why I can sit there and I can read I'll get through a comic because it's a short thing, and I feel like I've achieved. I've reached, you know, the end of a story.
Yeah.
Whereas I've got, you know, sitting here to my right, the new last James Herbert book, seeing as he sadly died.
Mm-hmm.
But you got from Tesco for £2.
Oh,
following
right.
on for our
big old chunk,
previous podcast.
It's got to be about 1,000 pages there.
Oh, two, hang on. Remove the snowball, blue snowball.
How long will it take you to read that hefty book?
Let's have a look at the print.
Jimmy Herbert.
It's
called Ash, is it?
Yeah, it's called Ash, yeah.
What's it about?
Ash.
The band Ash?
By reading the... I kind of looked at the ending. It's about 700 pages. I'll get through that in...
As the last words, they all die in the end.
And it turns out they were all robots.
It was all a dream, I'll and JR didn't realise.
Weekend, maybe.
Yeah, bloody hell, you're a quick reader then.
Yeah, probably about a weekend. That's if I've got time. I mean, I might start that this weekend, actually, because I have got time. I've got the house to myself. We can
talk about it on the next podcast, then, because you'll be finished. Surely,
yes, yeah, and I'll give it a little review.
Yeah. Any books you want to read specifically at the moment? I'll tell you one that I'd like to read. I like the Dan Brown style books, and so I'd like to try his new one, Inferno, which is just about to come out, or has just come out. I'm not quite sure which. Which is something about the Catholic Church being a bit naughty, and they are very formulaic, I'll give you that. But
It's out now. I saw it for sale in Tesco's.
Is it now?
Yeah. Right,
okay. That'll be a holiday. I don't mean I'll be getting a holiday this year. But
you should read Ready Player One by Ernie Cline. I've got it upstairs. I'll
is this about making a computer game or something?
Kind of, yeah. It's about it's like a future, a dystopian future where like this sort of virtual reality thing exists. Imagine it like PlayStation Home, but with like actual people using it, called the Oasis. So you should like it.
Sounds good.
You like the name? So fucking fantastic. But Page Turner, it's a real thing, real vibe for 80s kids.
See, that sounds like something I would read. Yeah, fantastic. For me, I have to really be into the subject matter to read a book. If I'm kind of half-hearted, I'll lose track. I'll give up on it. There has to be something I really want to read.
One of the series I absolutely love was, as I said before, the Clive Cussler books about the character Dirk Pitt. Real pulp, like. Do you know anything about
it? Is it like film noir style?
No, not at all. It's like a grand adventure sort of stuff. Clive Cussler basically writes books about the sea, right? Like boats and like seafaring adventures and shit. Mm. And his main character is a character called Dirk Pitt, who's like, he works for. He's like a underwater exploration person, but him and his little mate Al, but they were like Navy SEALs and shit, and you know they're hardcore, and he just goes around killing people, and like shagging birds and stuff, and going on little adventures. He's basically like Indiana Jones of the sea.
Oh, cool!
But
I can see how that works.
All the books are so formulaic; it's hilarious to the point where it is actually hilarious. what happens is, and this is basically the breakdown of every Clive Cussler book. So, spoilers. Book starts off with a historic event, something that happens maybe in the 1300s, 1400s.
A real event, based on a real event, or just something made up?
Usually bullshit. Yeah. Some of them are based on facts, although, for instance, one of them was the Titanic, but, you know, there you go. Then what will happen is it will break to, like, present day, in inverted commas, where Dirk Pitt will be doing something, there'll be a catastrophe, he'll come out the hero, and he'll save a load of people or kill a bunch of bad guys.
Right. Starting to sound like Uncharted to me.
Yep, it's very Uncharted. What's his name?
Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake is basically...
Same character,
yeah. Then what will happen is there'll be a woman who works for a local authority who will be somehow involved. He'll then hook up with her. She'll probably get kidnapped by a bad guy. He'll go after... The bad guy will have like a really cool classic car.
Right.
Just inadvertently. Oh, you've got an undersea lair, yet there's a like Rolls-Royce Phantom here. Because like, Clive Cussler's really into his cars and stuff, and like the character's got an airplane hangar full of cars and stuff.
I'm loving these books already.
Yeah, they're all exactly the same. So basically, he will then, him and his little mate, they'll get shot a bunch of times, and they'll be like, oh, we're really fucked up. And he'll kill the bad guy in a really interesting way. They'll drive away in the fancy car, then he'll fuck a bird.
James Bondish,
very much so. But they're brilliant. They're so pulp, and they're very well written and fun. And
are they quite like short that you can get
some of them? Yeah. I mean, the I've read them all, apart from the one they made into the film with Matthew McConaughey. Bizarrely, Sahara.
Oh, Sahara. Yeah.
That's a dope film. They also made Raise the Titanic, which was one of the dope hit films as well.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Terrible book. That's
I remember Sahara vaguely.
Yeah.
Well, that, I love that. Very much is Uncharted, isn't
it? Yeah, totally. Yeah. I love the film. I think they came out trumps with Matthew McConaughey there. He's really good.
I should have made more of them.
They should. Well, I think that was the intention, but they... I think Clive Cussler shit-canned it. He didn't like it. He thought there was changes, but it's not that different from the book, apparently. But it's a great film. I love that.
I like pulpy films, especially when I read them on holiday. Yeah. Something that I can just... I know it don't mean nothing. I know it's not a great work of art, but it's enough for me to just go, oh, I quite enjoyed that. If I can picture it like a cinema, like something at the cinema, a cheap film I go and see, I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
Just, I don't... You know, if I want to read bloody Dante's whatever, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dante, I ain't on holiday.
No.
No, I want something that's easy to read. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever write a book?
I'd like to.
I'd like to.
I think I've got at least a couple in me.
Yeah. Well, have you got any subject matters that you'd share, potentially blowing it to the millions of listeners? Millions of listeners.
Millions of on this award-winning podcast.
Any ideas you want to throw out there? Do you want to come up with an idea right now for a book? Go.
Come up with an idea of a book, podcast.
Yeah. What would you? What kind of book would you write?
I don't know. I'd have
action adventure.
I'd like to. I'd like to think I've got one of them in me, but I'd like to think I've got
detective novel, crime novel,
something a bit more, something a bit more internal, something a bit more thoughtful.
Hmm.
I think I've got something like that in me. Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy to. What I would like to do, if I had the time, would just to be to, you know, outline some characters and just see where they took me. Just see what the story comes out. It could be bollocks. It could, you know, and you know, hone it for a little while. Give myself a few months. Just to do rewrites and just to try and get it to something that I'm happy with, rather than be like Jessica Fletcher, bring all that, throw the page behind and go, I've done with my masterpiece.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd do that. I'd be more like, I'd like to be more thorough with it. How about you?
Yeah, I think
you write anyway, so I would
think I write constantly anyway. I think there's a book in me. I've tried previously to write a book. And failed. I get to a point where I just get quite early on, maybe sort of 10 chapters in, and bored and fed up and lose interest.
But that is the time to stop, though, isn't it? If you're not engaged with your own work, then I imagine you're going to have a few failures.
I can see myself. Yeah, I can see myself starting to write when I retire.
Yeah,
does that make sense? So I actually have the time to do it. That's the problem. Time. Even if you write 3 pages a day, every day, it'll take you a year, and I just don't think I've got that in me right now.
Mm.
But maybe when I retire, when I have the space to do that, I'd love to do it, because hopefully I'll still want to be writing in some capacity. Yeah, I get ideas for books all the time. I think fairly good ones. I remember having an idea. I can't really remember it too well now, but I had the title, which was Bullied, and it was basically like peeling back the onion. So the start of a murder, and it's all about who the murderer is. It's very cliche to an extent, but all the suspects, they were all interconnected, but each one of them was bullied in a different form, whether it be like a parent bullying them growing up, or you know, school pals, and it would have flashbacks and stuff in it as each flashback you get introduced to potentially a new character who was interconnected with the story, who was bullied into some different form, so different variations of bullying, and then you'd have to work out which one was bullied to the point of murder.
So basically, that's the previously on Grange Hill on the omnibus.
Yeah, just say no, kids. but I mean, it's hard to describe in just a nutshell like that. But I thought I could quite successfully work that into an actual book. But I mean, I wouldn't do that now. If anyone wants to do that, go for it. You know,
I always thought
just give me the royalties, goddammit.
Yeah, on a sort of similar vein, I always thought a good idea for a TV show, which would be like you'd never be able to make it because it'd be too expensive, would be to have a set cast and have like playing the same characters all the time, but they're just introduced into different disasters. So you say you have like, I don't know, half a dozen people. There's one guy who's like a big scaredy cat, and there's one guy who's like blah, 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 blah. And there's a flood, for instance, like a massive like tsunami that covers London. And there's one guy who like copes really well, and someone who doesn't. It turns out the big jock guy like can't fucking swim and stuff like that, so he's a pussy. But then like the following week, same characters. It's basically you hit reset to zero.
Yeah.
So they do the same thing, walking down the street.
It's an earthquake, and suddenly the big guy who can't swim, he's now saving people by lifting cars and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that.
So stuff like that, and you see.
I like that idea.
The dynamic with, but it would have no like through narrative. It would just be
reset each time.
Yeah, this is how this works.
But the interesting thing of that would be how each character, and you keep the character true each time, I assume. React in different scenarios.
Exactly. That's a good idea. And the reason I thought that'd be good as well is because people would relate to one particular person, and you'd think, how would I react to anything? Because
you could have some real fun and games with the playing around with the characters.
Well,
he wouldn't do that, and then actually something happens where, oh shit, he's in this situation where. Yeah. What does he do there? And then suddenly you go, I don't know how he'd react to that.
And maybe you could introduce like a different arc to that person every episode. So say, for instance, the person who can't swim, but they know that they're particularly good at a certain thing. Like there's someone trapped under a pylon, for instance, or something heavy, and they know they can't swim, but they're heroic enough to try and get that person. It's like, is the internal thing, isn't it? Do they risk themselves to do that? Because they know if they don't save that person, they're going to die, or do they do that? It's that thing, you can play with those archetypes.
It'd be interesting,
But, you know, there's no way that anyone would ever be able to make it just because it'd be too expensive.
Well, you never know. You never know.
You never know. So, yeah, that's so books are good.
Books are good. Read them more.
Yes. If you can read. If you can't read, apologies.
Listen to a podcast, for example.
Yeah.
Audiobooks.
It's like an audiobook.
This is like a book. Chapter 12, the end.
Yeah. Next will be chapter 20.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
The big special. We're still... did we ask for your ideas at the beginning of this podcast? I think we did. Was that so long ago? I can't remember.
Possibly. It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. any ideas for the big 20 episode, send them in as soon as possible. We will record it very shortly. Yeah. And, yeah.
We may even possibly have a special guest.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. Yes,
we should get them.
There are potentially some plans afoot in the conversation arena.
To introduce a third person. Oh my god.
Maybe a third person. Maybe other things as well.
Maybe a dog.
Maybe a talking dog. But that's enough from me, Alan Porter.
Me, Tom Hutchison. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.